This podcast is a presentation of UCTV.tv, University of California Television. Like what you learn? Help others discover UCTV podcasts by leaving a comment or rating in iTunes.
So you're going to continue on and talk about the retrograde technique, which has, I think, been a big advance in terms of the treatment of that distal disease.
All right, here I am again. So thank you again. So we will not talk about retrograde tibiopedal access and the importance of it in our practices, and I promise to make some of the time that I went over. So my disclosures, none of them are related to this talk. You know, when we're talking about tibiopedal access, you know, we have to be mindful of not only the tibial disease, but the collaterals that are off of the tibial vessels, and also as vascular specialists, all of us have to be familiar with the type of CTOs and CTO patterns and where they are, and ultimately determining which vessels can you approach and which vessels you cannot approach, especially if you're talking about retrograde tibial access or retrograde tibiopedal access with digital access, dorsalis pedis access, and plantar access. So we have to be familiar with all of these branches and all these collaterals as we're trying to target these patients. You know, this is an important picture in my mind because we try to teach some of our colleagues to obtain tibiopedal access under ultrasound, I don't have the advantage that you guys have as surgeons, where you actually look at the vessel and understand the anatomy better than anybody else. So we have to have a three-dimensional structure in our mind when we're approaching these vessels. And I find this extremely helpful when I go with my colleague, vascular surgery colleagues, to the OR, and I look at these vessels and I feel these vessels. He's gracious enough to let me do that. Or we do a lot of work, cadaveric work, where we teach some of our colleagues to obtain tibial access under ultrasound. You know, I always like to do this toward the end, have one of the vascular surgeons, he's gracious enough to actually dissect the leg for us and have the physicians take a look at it. Because, you know, if you see the proximity of the arteries and the veins and the nerves, you understand how a lot of problems can happen right then and there, and you have a much higher respect for it. So simple things when you're trying to obtain pedal access: leg orientation, probe selection, and utilization of obtaining access. And assessing the ideal spot for retrograde tibiopedal access is mainly done by ultrasound. In fact, as a cardiologist, we perform 100% of our access point via the use of ultrasound. Even in patients that come in with a STEMI, we always use ultrasound 100% of the time. In this day and age, with the data behind ultrasound and guided access, I'm still surprised that nobody, you know, somebody tries not to use it. The operator can evaluate the vessel with color, with pulse wave Doppler if needed. And I think it's important if you're trying to avoid venous puncture or even worse scenarios where you puncture the vein into the artery in some situations. Arterial spasm decreases the likelihood of success. So my fellows, I tell them it's a rule of three. Every time you hit the artery, you decrease the chance of accessing the artery by 30%. We use the hockey stick probe. It's a high-frequency probe. It looks like a hockey stick. It's a 15 megahertz probe. It's an excellent imaging modality for shallow structures. I understand that some vascular surgeons use it also for carotid surgeries and carotid endarterectomies. And you can see it also in pediatric departments. If you work in a large institution, you can actually look for it there. And we typically access the tibial vessels in the distal third of the lower extremity, so we avoid accessing them within the major compartments. Some of our colleagues in Europe, in Germany, they access the tibial vessels more proximally. We tend to access them more distally, away from the compartments, so if there's any bleeding, it's not happening within the major compartments, it's happening to the outside. So it's another safety step when we're trying to access these tibial vessels. In avoiding that, you're avoiding any risk of compartment syndrome or surgical complication. We do have a vascular technologist with us all the time. We actually have a full-time ultrasound tech that works with us in the cath lab because multiple operators utilize ultrasound, and I'll show you why. But there's no reason for you as an operator, especially if you do venous work, to use this on your own or teach your staff, like your nurse or your tech, to help you during the process. We usually tell our physicians to access the tibial vessels in the short access view, not in the long access view, because I think it's very frustrating for physicians when you see the vessel in the long access view and you're not able to see the lead in, and that's the Achilles heel of obtaining access via ultrasound. And this is what I was referring to earlier, you know, taking ultrasound beyond the access point, which is visualizing your catheters, visualizing your wires, visualizing a three-dimensional structure without the use of fluoroscopy or contrast in some of these patients. We encourage everybody, after they obtain access, to put a micro sheath in. I feel strongly against working without a sheath or just working over the wire. I feel that these vessels, most of the complications that happen with access in the tibia vessels are related to the access point. And it's mostly because if people decide to work without a sheath to protect the arteriotomy site, there's a lot of trauma that's created at the access site. So you avoid that by putting some of the low-profile sheaths that are available right now and can decrease the injury in that area. Another issue is retrograde injection. You know, you only need to use 1 to 2 cc's of contrast. Patients feel it. If we do forceful injections, you can get this immediate venous phase, especially in CLI patients, you can get this immediate venous phase that can cloud your imaging modality. So for the anterior tibial artery, we place the leg in a natural orientation with a slight dorsiflexion if you're trying to access the dorsalis pedis artery or the anterior tibial artery. If you're trying to access, and you have to do these maneuvers, this is, you know, the hockey stick probe is basically the Rolls-Royce of probes. I mean, you can use other probes or lower frequency probes, but the image quality that you obtain with the high frequency probe is very helpful. There are a lot of things that are happening in this image here. Obviously, this is a healthy volunteer. This is one of our research nurses. They're as passionate about CLI as we are. That's a job requirement. So they're always kind enough to allow us to take these images. So compressibility of the vein, even CLI patients that have multi-level CTOs, the veins tend to compress before the arteries. There's no calcifications here, but some, you know, calcification is a common finding that you see on ultrasound. So you want to determine where exactly you want to puncture the artery, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. The posterior tibial artery and the peroneal artery, we tend to use a medial approach, so not anterior lateral approach. We rotate the leg externally, what we call frogging the leg, and if you're trying to access the peroneal artery, which remains one of the most challenging access points, so I don't want to mislead you and tell you that accessing peroneal artery with ultrasound is an easy thing. It's still very challenging for me. And nonetheless, you know, it's doable via ultrasound if you have a good image. And the same thing, you want to interrogate the vessel. You know, this is a 2 millimeter vessel, and you can see this is how large it is on the screen. So you really, if you manage to understand the relationship between the needle and the probe, you're not going to miss that artery. So you will use a hockey stick probe when you're trying to image the shallow structures next to the ankle, 0.5 to 1 centimeters. That's how deep these vessels can be distally. And then as you move approximately toward toward the knee or toward the groin, you will switch to a lower frequency probe because the hockey stick probe is not going to work beyond 2.5, 2.7 centimeters. You need a lower frequency probe to be able to image these vessels. So let's go through access via ultrasound step by step. This is the hockey stick probe. We're using the back end of a needle to determine where you're going to puncture the skin under ultrasound. You don't want to use the tip of a needle. Patients don't like it. I learned the hard way. And once you determine where you're going to puncture the skin, usually if you have an ultrasound tech, they're skilled enough to maintain the vessel in the middle of the screen. If you notice here the proximity between the needle and the hockey stick probe, this is an actual patient that we're accessing, and you notice the angle between the needle and the hockey stick probe because you want your angle to be very steep, very shallow because of the proximity of the vessel to the skin. So if your needle is flat, you're not going to be able to visualize the needle. The most frustrating part for physicians when they're trying to obtain access via ultrasound is visualization of the needle. They will see the vessel moving, and they will get so frustrated because they're not able to get into the vessel. And suddenly you'll notice that you're only 0.5, you know, half a millimeter away from the vessel, 1 millimeter away from the vessel. You're able to move the vessel, but you're not going to be anywhere near or close by it. So visualization of that needle is very, very important, and you need to spend some time trying to make sure that you see your needle. Now, once you decide where you're going to puncture and you decide the angle that you're going to puncture, you're going to get blood. None of us will get pulsatile blood flow when, after puncturing the vessel. If you do, that means you have the wrong patient on the table. So, you know, you don't let go of the needle. You're going to have to hold the needle. And notice what's happening here in the screen. The ultrasound probe is switching from a short axis view to the long axis view. What's happening is my eye is not on the needle. My eye is on the ultrasound screen, and I'll show you an example in a second. Once we advance our wire, we advance our low-profile micro puncture kit. This is a Cook tibipedal sheath that comes with a valve. It's a 2.9 French sheath. It allows you to accommodate an 018 catheter. It allows you to accommodate an 014 wire, an 018 wire, and it allows you to deliver vasodilators through it. And you can use larger sheets. This is a Terumo Precision 4 French sheath that you can utilize for retrograde access to and delivering therapy. So this is what I was referring to in terms of visualization of a needle. You can see your needle. This is a bright spot here. You can see your needle, and you can see it pointing toward the vessel. And sometimes in long axis view, you can see some of these serrated needles. They can give you that shadow under ultrasound. This is an example of tibial access in the long axis view. You can see the needle pushing on the wall of the vessel, puncturing the anterior wall and the posterior wall. And what the operator would need to do is basically tug back on the needle. I don't call it pull, because whenever I say pull, people lose access, and kind of free the needle off of the posterior wall of the vessel and advance your wire. You really don't want to feel any resistance when you're trying to access. So again, this is a long axis view just to show you, and the needle is coming at the vessel. You see the tinting of a vessel. That's a good sign. That means you're in the right spot. And eventually what happens is, without you attempting to, you will puncture the anterior wall and the posterior wall. Sometimes you don't, but most of the time you will puncture the anterior wall and the posterior wall. And you want to tug back on the needle, free the needle off of the posterior wall, and advance your wire through it, ultimately obtaining access. The ideal spot to puncture the artery is obviously 12 o'clock. 11 o'clock to 1 o'clock also are good spots, and sometimes that's what you have to do. The least ideal spots are obviously around 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock, and you want to avoid anything around 9 o'clock or 3 o'clock. So that's if you want to think of, that's why short access of a tibia vessel is very important. Now, this is in real time what's happening. This is a patient of ours. The hockey stick probe, again, the angle is very sharp. We're compressing the veins. The tech is telling me these are the veins, and this is the artery here, and I'm looking for the shadow of a needle, and this is the shadow of a needle, sustained pressure, and then until we're getting blood flow return. Sometimes you don't. So this is a long axis view here, and we're looking for the vessel. You see the vessel here. You see the tinting. Just by turning the probe, the needle was pushed out. Just simply by turning the probe, the needle was pushed out. Now I can still see the needle aligned up with my vessel. I advanced the needle, punctured the anterior wall, and now the wire is going through. You really don't want to feel resistance when you're advancing the wire. The wire has to go really smoothly. And when it's free off of the posterior wall, it will flow through the vessel, and you're able to deliver therapy when you want with these patients. Extravascular ultrasound revascularization is a step further in terms of utilizing ultrasound and obtaining pedal access, which is actually, instead of using fluoroscopy or contrast, using ultrasound to guide and deliver your therapy. The TAMI technique I showed you in the earlier talk, tibiopedal arterial minimally invasive retrograde revascularization, is another tool that we can utilize in revascularizing some of those patients that are high risk. You know, they cannot lay flat, they have hostile groins, fibrotic groins, or they're morbidly obese. And so on and so forth. We publish it's a small case series, 25 patients. We're now collecting the data for the last 2 years on those patients in the PRIME registry, and hopefully we'll share it with the peer-reviewed community. We also use ultrasound to guide access in an antegrade fashion. This is the common femoral head. This is the common femoral artery. And there's a wire in the profunda. We advance the sheath, the tip of the sheath to the profunda, and use another 018 wire to guide our sheath into the superficial femoral artery without the use of fluoroscopy, without the use of contrast. An example of visualizing your wires and catheters under ultrasound, you can see the reverberation artifact telling you that these are the walls of a vessel and my wire is going through it. So it's worth the investment for you as an operator not being exposed to radiation and not exposing your patient to contrast and decreasing the risk of complications related to that. This is an example of a three-dimensional visualization, wall of a vessel, and you can see the wire trying actually to exit the vessel or trying at least to be in the subintimal space. You cannot get that kind of feedback from fluoroscopy. And in this case here, crossing the CTO in a retrograde fashion, you can see the wire navigating through the CTO to the true lumen of the vessel. And you can use color Doppler to tell you, am I in the true vessel or am I outside the vessel? And here you can see by color Doppler, this is a pulsatile segment and my wire is through it. Another example is visualization of your catheters and wires traveling under ultrasound. And this is an example of a angled catheter traveling under ultrasound and catheter through the stent here. You can visualize it. You can see where you are. This is the wide stop sign that I was referring to earlier. This is an exclusion criteria for tibial access, especially for physicians that are just starting to do this. Our experience, this is our unpublished experience. So part of being a CLI center, you have to, in my opinion, you have to have some quality initiative related to your institution. And one of the things that we try to do is we try to decrease the fluoro time, radiation time, and contrast volume in our patients. So we wanted to see what was the effect of a TAMI technique and the extravascular ultrasound and what we did. And this is unpublished information. It's our own information. And if you look here numerically, at least with the TAMI technique, as we became more proficient to using the TAMI technique, we were able to cut our fluoro time from 22 minutes to 15 minutes. And even with traditional peripheral vascular interventions, not the TAMI technique, with the use of EVAS extravascular ultrasound, we were able to cut our radiation time from 33 minutes to 27 minutes. Again, this is not meant for statistical analysis. This is our own quality initiative at our institution. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.